Doug, we don't have a whole lot of French heavy metal bands out there.
Is it a genre that's been untapped
I think maybe. I mean, you've got, like, metal is all over the place, right? You got German bands and English bands, obviously, Swedish metal, all types of metal, but I've never heard of French metal.
How about a French country artist?
How about that, right?
It's time.
Right. Jean-Luc.
It's time for there to be a French country
artist. I would think so, yeah. Except the problem is that they don't have pickup trucks in France.
And their dogs are all poodles.
And nobody drinks beer, they drink wine.
Yeah. It's kind of a bit of a niche market, the French country artists, but maybe there is a French country artist that we just don't know about him. But
just an observation.
Jean-Luc Bryan, is that what it is?
Right, yeah. Another, well, yeah, right. You have to have a Luke in there, right? Yeah,
exactly. It's time, Gator. It's time.
Yeah.
By the way, we were talking about a Friday. Did you see that Deadpool Wolverine made $205 million, a top 10 opening weekend of all time?
I did see that.
Yep.
I think it's the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time in the opening weekend.
Yep. You did not get out and see it.
No, but I want to see it. Yep. I definitely want to see it because I like both of those characters a lot.
I was thinking I might see it.
Wow.
Yeah. I also might not see it.
I was going to say. It's 50-50, Doug.
Yeah, my daughter asked me to go see the Twisters
movie,
so I'll probably do that. Spend some time with her.
Get some good special effects in that flick, I'm sure.
Yeah. It was number two this weekend, but it was like $30 million or something like that.
Yeah.
It's quite a gap.
People going back to the theaters, I guess. That's cool.
Apparently. 248-539-9797. All right, so the big story today, John Morosi reported this morning that he thought he knows the Tigers and Orioles are still talking about Skubal. And then he went on MLB Network and said he puts it around 50-50 that he gets traded, which was way higher than I would have expected, but certainly is interesting. The Tigers have moved one player, Carson Kelly, the catcher, to the Texas Rangers. The first impact you'll see of this is that with one catcher gone, Dylan Dingler, who seems to finally be living up to his offensive potential, which is fine. I mean, I don't want to make that sound like a criticism. It's not. It's a tough thing to go from level to level to level and prove capable. He has apparently proven capable at AAA to the point where they were happy to move on from Kelly, a player they signed as a free agent, which was really had very little market, and they're able to get a potential bullpen arm out of it. And they opened up the spot for Dingler. So seems like a good move, not a great move, but a good move. But it's going to be fun seeing what Dingler can provide.
Good day to be a Buckeye in the state of Michigan, right? You got Taylor Decker, who got his extension today.
Yep.
And Dylan Dingler is a Buckeye as well, and he gets a chance to play in the majors today.
There you go.
Assuming they can play baseball today.
That is correct.
A little dark out right now, although it's supposed to clear up later on today. But we'll see.
Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Greg next on 97.1 Ticket. Hi, Greg.
Hi, this is Greg. How you doing?
We're good, Greg.
Okay, about trading either Skubal or Flaherty. If the Tigers do that, they are giving up. They are already competitive for a wild card spot. And if they trade those two players for prospects, what's the game? Then in 2 or 3 years, the prospects or a player like Skubal or Flaherty, then you trade them again. They are saying we are a small market team. They're going to just spin their wheels like the Lions did for so many years. And football season can't get here fast enough.
So you think they're still competing for a wild card? They're 5.5 out of a wild card spot right now, but you think this team is talented enough to still compete for a wild card?
I think when they throw Skubal, Flaherty, it's a shame about Olsen. You get 7 innings of a pitcher that can keep you in the game.
Right, but they've done that all season long, and they're still 5.5 games out of the wild card.
Yeah, I got you. It's not easy. They need their hitting to come around. But with Skubal and Flaherty, you have a righty and a lefty that any team, even the Dodgers, they would love to have those two
right,
guys.
Right, which is why you listen to the offense.
That's the nucleus of a team that you could build. Now, they need hitting. So if they trade those guys, they get a good hitter that they can put in the lineup, fine. Other than that, they're getting up.
That's exactly what they think. That's exactly
what
they're
doing. Give them away. I mean, that's exactly what they've been holding out for. You're not going to talk to the Baltimore Orioles and just say, all right, we'll just give you Skubal, and you don't have to give us anything in return. I mean, they're expecting to get everyday players back.
No, I'm not. Okay. Yes. Definitely. But you're not going to get a Skubal back. This is why they're trading with Detroit for a player who could step in today. Now, if you get prospects, you're risking that they work out. Let me give you a few names. Matt Manning, Casey Mize, Torkelson. You're hoping the prospects work out. Right now, you have Tarek Skubal and John Flaherty, which are premium, right, for this year. Very good players. So you build around them. You don't trade them.
I don't think you build around Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty signed a 1-year deal, and it's because he's on again, off again every year, other year in his career, because he's battled with injuries, and has this year. By the way, I hate to break it to him, but he's had two shots in his back to get him right, and he's been really good all season long, despite missing some starts because of the injections. I trade him as quick as I can because I don't think he's ready to bounce back and be this guy for the next 5 or 6 years, or even 2 years.
I've been biting my tongue on saying this.
Okay.
This entire time. But if you don't understand why a team that is not great would trade veteran players for prospects. If you don't understand why they would do it, I'm not sure we can even really have this conversation, with all respect due. This is what rebuilding teams or middling teams do to try and get to a better place, is hoarding prospects. And no, you're probably not getting somebody back as good as Skubal. Got it. But are you getting two position players back that might make you a better organization over the timeline that Skubal would be here, and maybe even more? And you're right, maybe less. I mean, as much as you want to, I mean, the idea that you don't want to make a trade or get a prospect because other guys haven't worked out in the past tells me that if you dated and that person you dated broke your heart, you would never date again. Like, you have to keep trying. You have to keep going back to the well. It's okay to go back to the well. Because at one point, Bobby Witt Jr. was a highly regarded prospect. And Fernando Tatis was a highly regarded prospect. And by the way, both those guys come from major league lineage, just like Jackson Holliday. Their dads played in the bigs, just like Jackson Holliday. Now, I'm not trading for Jackson Holliday because his dad was in the bigs, but it's just an example of this follows the template of teams that have had success with prospects.
Well, let me throw another name at you that has not been mentioned from Baltimore. And that's somebody who's on their team right now, Ryan Mountcastle, who's a first baseman, outfielder type. Mm-hmm. They have some depth, and he can be displaced if they wanted to. He's been in the leagues for 5 years now. He's only 27. He's a career 770 OPS guy. He hit 33 home runs back in 2021. Followed that up with 22 the next year, and then dropped down to only 115 games last year, but still hit 18 home runs. He's got 12 this year, 95 games. Does that move the needle at all if that's thrown in? It's because I know people are like, well, enough prospects. I want to get players. So this guy would be an actual player from the roster that would be under team control. He's not a free agent until 2027.
To be
thrown into the mix of the prospects that they have.
Probably the player of the prospects they have that I would prefer is Heston Kjerstad.
Sure.
Of a player that would come in and play right away. But
those are two names of actual players that are playing on the team. And so is Norby, by the way. Norby's playing right now, too, but doesn't have the track record that these guys do in the major league level, at least at Mountcastle as the major league level.
Now,
I'm just saying there are players Baltimore has that aren't necessarily prospects that could be additions to the Tigers that would benefit the Tigers.
Now, let me be clear what I said. I'm not sure we can have the conversation. It's if you don't understand the philosophy, you might say, I still wouldn't make the trade. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the philosophy is middling to poor teams trade quality veterans to try and hoard prospects to be better in the future. And if you're trying to win now, win this year, and you think they are a legitimate playoff contender, I guess that's sort of a fundamental disagreement. I don't look at this lineup and this rotation. I think they've got pieces, but I don't look at it and say that's a playoff team.
I don't either. You have to play the hope and if game in order for that to happen. 5.5 games out of the wild card spot. And if you don't trade these guys, understand this. They've had these guys all season and they're still 5.5 games out. So the hope and if game is you're hoping that Parker Meadows comes back to this team real soon by the end of the week, and that he can be a guy to plug and play right away. And you're also hoping Kerry Carpenter comes back and gives you 6 weeks of baseball at the end of the season that's going to be really helpful for this team. You're hopeful that what Spencer Torkelson did yesterday with 2 home runs, a grand slam, and 7 RBIs, that Tork's ready to come back and charge his second half run like he did last year. Those are the hopes and ifs. And I by the way, then you're also hoping that Mize and Olson come back and pitch to form, even though they're still a long ways away.
I guess you say they've had these guys all year. They haven't had this version of Cole Keith, right?
No.
So
but they've had these pitchers in the rotation all year.